All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Gary, you're going to want to buckle up.
I'm always buckled up. People buy me gifts on Steam sometimes, and they always use that sign off.
I'm more of a Kerblam man myself.
Kerblam, buckle up. who's using that buckle up non-ironically?
I don't know who's using Kerblam non-ironically.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, well, just people who are just like, man, you know, check this shit out.
Yeah.
It's Shadow of Mordor. Buckle up. It's got swords. You know?
Just like, really pushing. Yeah, just going for it is what you're doing. All right, I'm going to floor it. Okay, Gary, we're going to be driving through this cemetery. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. And
everybody hold
your breath. You better be buckling up. All right, okay. Boom. All right, yep. Yeah. Okay, we hit it. Yep, we ran over one of these gravestones. Basically, I'm going to run over however many grades. Okay, there we go again. Oh, man, okay. This is really... Basically, I'm trying to make this as hard to edit as possible. Yep, it is. That's what you have insurance for. That's why pencils have erasers, and that's why God gave me a premium. Okay. Well, got a whole bunch here. Whoa.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Woo.
All right. That was intense.
Yeah. All right. Well, car can't go anymore. Yep.
This is worth it.
let's get out. Let's walk back to the beginning.
Okay.
Walk. Let's look at let's pick the first letter of the last names. Okay, Smith, Williams, mm-hmm. Oxenplatt, mm-hmm. Sword of Sodan.
Okay, I thought it was Sword of Soda for a second. I was pretty into it.
Oh,
but
you pull the enchanted blade from the RC Cola machine.
I got thirsty. It is a royal blade or a royal cola.
No, I can't believe I wrecked my car up for this.
Yeah, I you know, it wasn't worth it.
No, it really wasn't.
In retrospect,
nothing would have been worth it. I like that car an awful lot.
What if we just use a random number generator, man? We got to stop destroying our lives and selves. Like, it's got to...
Fuck.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is After Suffering, the show where you play bad games. You don't have to.
Uh-huh.
Why are you doing this to us?
Why, please, why?
Cole, this game...
This is not features, playable.
Well, it's... Oh, hold on. Okay. I need to get first principles out here.
Okay.
You play as two descendants of someone named Sodan. The boy is named Brodan.
Yeah.
Was just not good. Like, that is like the best joke.
Like, it is a very good joke. That is some the motherfucking share zone style shit.
It's sort of Brodan. Like that's what I, you know, it's like, it's, I would have wanted to have taken credit for that, but it's actually part of the text.
I know, right? No, I just guess what my note is here. Sort of Brodan.
Yeah, sort of Brodan. And then you look in the fact, it's like, well, shit, man, they're way ahead of me. It is unplayable.
Oh my god.
But you do get to play as Brodan.
Yeah.
Holder of the Sword of Sodan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've got this up. I wanna see what even holy shit. Sorry, I didn't even realize you could do that. Like, I have no idea how you play this. Did you know when you pause, you get a cursor and you can move your potions around?
Yeah.
Jesus. This is so bad.
It makes a big difference, like being able to move posters around, but it never gets like fun.
No,
you can make it. It makes it. I put it on easy and gave myself the max number of lives, and I quit because I was bored, not because I died. Like, I can't imagine playing this on a higher difficulty level or with, you know, fewer lives. And if you didn't know how to use potions, you'd get even less far.
Right. Yeah.
I got a few levels into it until eventually there were like these gigantic axe demon things.
Oh, geez.
I couldn't beat.
So we should describe what this is. So this is a Sega Genesis game, but it was initially for the Amiga, and that should send a couple of signals flying.
Yeah.
We alluded to this in an earlier episode, but this has so much Psygnosis stink on it.
you know, real, real big characters who, like, for the time, I guess, look good.
Yes.
Like, their heads are a little big. It's real weird. They're not drawn the Marvel way. Like, I really want a head to be 1/6 of a person.
Right.
And all these heads are like 1/5.
Yeah. They're a little bit like blow pops is what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just kind of move around and you have like a very stiff, poorly animated combat mm-hmm. with an unending number of like stormtroopers with spears who converge from both sides to stab you into the head until you die.
Right.
And it's pretty much the Sword of Sodan experience.
Yeah. So you can only face one direction at once. Your attacks don't have any like backsplash or whatever, ultimately leading to you just being Knight of the Roxbury to death. At least it was for me.
And the enemies have a lot of health. It takes a lot of stabs to fight these guys. It's not like Kung Fu.
No.
You know, like where that like enemies come from both sides and that works just fine.
Right. That's part of the empowerment fantasy, you know, is like, yes. I'm fighting them off from every direction because I can. Here it's just, you know, tappa 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 until they're all gone.
And you have different sword strokes, but they don't do anything appreciably different. Like in level 3 is when I think the last level I got to, you start running into these demons that fly around and you have an overhead stroke with your rapier, which like
what?
Come on.
But
read a book. Read the arms and equipment guide, you piece of shit. But you have this overhead stroke and it doesn't hit above you. Like nope. it's the dumbest shit. Like how am I supposed to beat this thing that is coming at my head from a 45-degree angle to drain my health?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like there's no knockback, I don't get an invincibility period. It's just while our sprites overlap,
mm-hmm.
my health goes down. Like, you know, a shitty game maker experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this is really, really unplayably bad nonsense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it is very much like, oh, this looks good. And I can imagine it selling copies and having a lot of people have affection for it based on that, you know?
Yeah.
But like it is dead simple. You know, this is a brawler. It plays out as a brawler, but it's incredibly slow and everything kind of moves in on like the same single plane.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, an unlimited number of enemies. You have to defeat all the enemies before you move on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason, at least early on, to jump. Like, they introduce floor hazards, but they're on every single spot on the floor. There's just, like, spikes come up randomly, so there's no getting around it.
No. You know?
Tons of, like, really bad hit detection.
Oh, wow. Zombies send out, like, shoot 'em up patterns of projectiles they have to jump over, too.
That's intense. Did you see the giant snake men who are at like on the long play? I'm looking at it's around 12 minutes in.
Yes.
These are the guys who killed me. The enemies in this game, as you go on, get cool.
Yes.
The snake man, when you kill the giant snake man, you behead them and it looks awesome.
Oh yeah.
Like this is not, you know, this was a little bit like Splatterhouse, you know, this had a little bit of that like controversy because of violence and blood in a way that actually looked kind of cool in like a Conan, you know, kind of barbarian way.
Yeah, it has a lot of Conan appeal, or CA.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, you know, we call this Ignosis. The game this reminds me most of is Barbarian, which is, here's an embarrassing story. Had a friend who had an Amiga and played a lot of stuff on that. That was fun. Mm-hmm. However, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, Barbarian. I was excited about Barbarian because there was an episode of Home Improvement where the mom didn't want the kids to have the game called Barbarian, but Tim wanted the game Barbarian because, oh, oh, oh power.
More privilege.
Right. That's, but he got it anyway, and they tried to keep it a secret, but they didn't want to. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, Barbarian. I put it in. Like, oh, this really sucks. Home Improvement. You steered me wrong for the first time in my life.
Up until this point, I had been, you know, ascribing to the rules of Tim.
Could call the tool fan Ross, you know?
Like, I think so, Tim.
pretty sure, Tim.
Yeah, sure. Keep going, Tim. You're doing great, Tim. Was it the same game? Were you able to confirm, like,
I mean,
was that the Barbarian, or was it, because that does sound like a, you know, a SVU, like making up a video game title.
Right. Who knows? I have no idea. It didn't actually show any of the play. It just had sound effects. And like every, you know, to my memory, just like every time a video game is featured, even to this day, it's just Pac-Man. Pac-Man from 2600.
Yeah.
Or Yar's Revenge. There's another popular one.
Yar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down for a barbarian. Like, this is, this looks like a version of Golden Axe for people who suck. Like, if you just, oh, the sprite's slightly bigger, so it's a better game.
Yeah.
But it, like, yeah, I think we're both like Golden Axe defenders. Like, I think we both like Golden Axe.
Golden Axe, right? Is fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's pretty good. Uh-huh. Like, it's not great or anything, but I can get down with that.
Uh-huh.
As a thing.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this too is that the Genesis version is way worse.
Yes.
They made it significantly worse by adding those enemies coming from both sides.
Mm-hmm. So
the way you turn around is to hold jump and press left.
Boom.
And that doesn't make you jump somehow. It makes you turn around. It's real bad.
Yeah. No. My favorite line on the Wikipedia for this, I need to pull it up. It's something about the shield. Let me see here.
Oh yeah, the shields were purely cosmetic in the Amiga version, and they removed them for the Genesis.
Though the player is also equipped with a shield, it is merely for decoration. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yep.
This really is like the Royal Crown version of Golden Axe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it when you go to a place and they have Royal Crown cola.
So I like,
especially out of a fountain. Like, good God.
I was teeing this up for my birthday with my family. It was not on my birthday, so I didn't celebrate my birthday at this place. I'm like, oh, let's go to this restaurant in a one town over that sells good sandwiches, I guess, but also it's like a combination restaurant and like thrift store kind of thing. Okay.
Okay.
So they got a bunch of shit on the walls, but all of it has a price tag. And if you like something, you can just grab it and then, you know, take it up and buy it with your check. Kind of cool idea, right?
Yeah.
We go there, sit down, placing your order, saying like, okay, can I get a Diet Coke? And then the response you expect is, oh, I'm sorry, we have Pepsi. Is that okay? And you say, yeah, fine, whatever. We only serve Royal Crown products.
The entire family, like that was said with, like, if the waiter or waitress actually said it in that cadence, that's way too much confidence for something that should be an unending source of shame,
right?
You know, no, we only serve Royal Crown products.
At that point, you just keep the translation. You keep the translation in your head, and then when they ask for a Coke, you bring out a Royal or an RC and hope they don't notice.
Yeah, and just like, oh, there might be a problem with the syrup,
right?
In the bag,
right.
You know, if they send it back or anything like that, yeah. It's a huge bummer. Like, I will get bummed out by Pepsi as well. Mm-hmm. You know, at a place like, they just have Pepsi. It's like, no, I don't think they're okay. I don't think those products are okay. Cause I don't drink enough soda to be all comers.
Right.
You know, it's enough of a treat that I want the kind of soda that I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of not done in, but one of the things that's true about where I live now is I'm closest to a Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Grocery store is like 4 blocks away. So I end up going to Whole Foods more often than ordinarily would.
Yep.
It's an expensive, it's a very expensive grocery store.
But apparently not anymore. Apparently it's like a fucking shit show now because of Amazon.
I saw that as well. The one by our house is untouched.
Oh.
It's like all the prices went down about 50 cents. So not quite enough to be appreciable, but also, you know, nothing went up, and we have not had the shit show problems.
Yeah.
With their weird inventory system.
Yeah.
But it means I'm trying like it's all their weird like natural stevia colas and stuff for my diet soda. So it's instead of RC or Coca-Cola, it's like Zevia chill or something like that. And they're okay.
Okay. You know?
But it does. It really underlines that like it's not just about level of quality or fanciness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very particular about a soda formula.
Right. Right. If you're and like I was devastated when they changed the formula for Coke Zero, when they went from Coke Zero to Coke Zero calories.
Yeah, zero sugar or whatever. Yeah. That's really rough.
Yeah. And I just finished a can of it to keep myself awake, but you know.
But it was medicine. It was medicinal.
Right. It was a fluid with a goal, you know.
Here's something that some people would judge me for. I think I've mentioned this before. I've switched a lot of my caffeine intake over to pills. And it's like, I understand that that's, you know, it sounds scary, but it's not.
I mean, that's what trucker pills are, you know, like people take them and don't die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and sometimes they do, you know, okay. But they're truckers and they're like trying, they're like, oh, if I can make it to Tulsa in 2 days instead of three, I get, you know, an extra day to spend with my family and a bunch of extra money.
Right, right.
Like me, it's more like, oh, these things have the amount of caffeine that two cups of coffee have, or like one large coffee does.
Mm-hmm.
And I take one when I wake up, and then that's it.
Right, right.
You know, and then just it, you know, has a roughly the same onset. Like it's, I haven't noticed any negative effects to my life.
Does it rip up your guts? Scary.
No, it's better for my guts than most caffeine sources.
Right.
Cause coffee, like I love coffee, but every once in a while that will rip up my guts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then if it's like, if I need a booster, you know, or if I'm going out and I want to walk it around coffee, then I'll just do more caffeine. Cause it's not like, you know, I have a pretty high tolerance.
Right.
But and it's there's a generic version too, so it ends up being the most cost effective way that I can do this. It's like $2.40 for 40 pills.
Holy shit.
So, you know, 40 days of caffeine for $2.40.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I was once, if people are judging it, I was once like you. Like I used to think that it was a shitty thing to do. But
yeah, well, I mean, you're not I'm not calling you a hypocrite here. You're generally not in favor of like over optimization kind of stuff. That's more of like a life hacky behavior than I would expect from you.
Yeah, I agree. But it's also just kind of, and I like the taste of coffee. It's just my stomach doesn't always like it.
Right.
So I chalk it up to, it is true that I'm anti-optimization. I'm also, very aware of the way that life becomes a diarrhea nightmare by the time you get to your 30s, where you just, you know, yeah. we had indigestion cast, like
right
that being a thing. Like I need ways to combat that.
Oh sure.
Because like what am I gonna do, not take a drug?
Yeah, well that's the thing. Like, you know, you get the you get the instant poops from coffee even with decaf. Like, yeah. It is not the caffeine that wakes that awakens the beast.
Yeah, you know? and those instant, so like instant maybe not, but when you can just get those accelerated poops, like sometimes that will be like, I will be like, I could really stand to take a shit. Uh-huh. And then I will drink a cup of coffee specifically for that reason.
Right.
You know, and I don't get that from the pills, of course.
Right.
But yeah, it's a nice. I recommend it.
Yeah, I like that as a like a precision of dosing as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and just how do you know what you're getting in coffee if your actual purpose is to wake yourself up, right?
1000%, right? Like, so like different coffee blends have different amounts of caffeine, and then depending on how strong you brew it, like I use a little pour over thing. So depending on, you know, there are a lot of different factors that will kind of change that. Like any kind of drug, I want that precision dose thing. Like we talked about how you know, now that marijuana is legal in Portland, like I partake from time to time, and part of the reason why I feel like, you know, every once in a while I will do like a CBD edible to like sleep or relax or what have you. And I just know exactly how much I'm getting.
Yeah.
So it helps you course correct. Like, it's not like me going to a friend of a friend's house and then just kind of trusting whatever they give me. Like I can go into a place and be like, hey, this is what I want. And they can be like, take this much of this. And I can go, thank you.
Yeah.
And then leave. And it's kind of great.
Yeah.
Like
I've never had a homemade edible like that somebody just made. But I've heard enough horror stories that I would be very reluctant to take that to take that ride, right?
Yeah. I've done that very rarely, but store-bought ones are again, they're like they're measured out.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to give you more than you bought, right?
it's not like, you know x, you know, solve for x, you know. Like, it is, that's the amount of drug in this. Yeah. One of the things, like, I've thought about thinking about moving again, and like that's one of the things I think I'd miss.
Oh, it's ready, like, access to legal weed.
Yeah, I'm not like, not a huge user or anything. Like, if I just had to stop, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just kind of nice, just for like, helps me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm super tense, like it's kind of nice.
Yeah, no, so. It's like that. That's how I use it. So yeah. You know, and it gets, you know, it's hairy. It's hairy in a place without legalization, but who knows, like the arc of history is leading toward that being less of a problem, current setbacks aside, you know.
Yeah. After so yeah, I can't remember how we got on that.
I called this the Royal Crown Cola of brawlers compared to Golden Axe, because I wanted to tell the story about that bizarro restaurant that only sold bad liquid.
I have two kind of, so we have game fact stuff.
Yes,
that's really great. But before we get to that, can I give you two quick updates from the world of band practice and the Goatmaster?
Yes, please.
Somebody actually like Twittered me and says like, hey, any Goatmaster updates? And I was like, stay tuned after suffering. And then we didn't record about it for like 2 weeks.
Right.
So if they're still paying attention, you know, hopefully they are, and they can get this goat content. Let me
give some background on this. Gary is working in a band. You got a collaborator, you've got a practice space, but you share this with a metal band that at one point had a bunch of like possible either band names or track names written up on a whiteboard or a chalkboard or something, one of which was Goatmaster.
They had several songs about the Goatmaster.
Okay.
There was 666 the Goatmaster and something else the Goatmaster too. I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure I could find it on my phone, but I just had the most recent picture of their metal ass whiteboard. So now the two things, this isn't as good as the last one. I just figured, because then they introduced the Goatmaster. Then they introduced Count Vostrum the Nephila. He came up. Vostron. It looks like Vostrum and Vostron, depending on where it's written.
Okay.
But this one, the updates are, one, they have a song structure kind of thing, which I get, you know. And a song called Mud Stomp that they're doing that goes main riff, heavy slow riff, slower, heavy... super slow riff.
You don't make songs slower.
it goes from main riff to slowest as it goes. And then next to that, and this could be the same thing, it says Lycanthropy Primordial Mud Groove. So that could be what that's referring to.
Okay.
So we bought a little, so that's their whiteboard. And I went to Target and I bought a little tiny whiteboard to put on our opposite wall because I think it's funny to have our little immaculate tiny whiteboard next to their gigantic metal whiteboard.
Right.
But then I brought that in and then they bought a even bigger whiteboard than their old one. It's like a whiteboard arms race.
So their songs get slower, but their whiteboards get bigger.
Yeah. That's how it goes, man. The other thing that happened is, because of some scheduling stuff, we practiced on another day. And one of the nice things about the practice space, if you happen to practice on another day, you hear other bands as you're walking through the hallway.
Nice.
Which I always appreciate. The people who practice on the same day we do, I don't like that much. Mm-hmm. But the people who practice on Sundays, who practiced yesterday, are much better, including our neighbors next to it, which is a band full of old guys with like really kind of nice equipment. So they're probably like a working bar band.
Right, right.
If I had to guess. And it was very close to driving both Andrew and me insane because it felt like we were getting Truman Showed. The band played exclusively songs that sounded a lot like old 60s and 70s songs you would know, but weren't. And for an entire, like, our practice overlapped for about 40 minutes.
Okay.
So we heard what would be a complete set from these guys. Not one thing you can recognize, all of which sound like songs that are already written from that period.
Right. Oh, so they're a production music band. This song is going to be Eagles-esque.
Yes. a narrower scope.
Yeah.
You know that, like, it sounded like a lot of the things kind of sounded a little like Creedence-y, but less gritty, like less gritty Creedence, or like the Grassroots, like that kind of
60s
thing. But they all had, like, the melodies would be like, this is, you know, like, God, this is the chord progression from part A of this Grassroots song. And then they would move into this totally different part that sounded like part C,
right,
of, you know, the zombie song. Like, it was incredible. It felt like it was trying to drive us insane because, like, the whole time. So that practice space is such a fucking racket because it's just a big warehouse with like shitty high school theater walls.
Okay.
There's no insulation. So if you're not playing music, you hear every other piece of music that's being played in the room.
How can you think? Yeah.
It's very tricky. Like, and like, you'd listen and you'd be like, oh yeah. And then you would start like kind of humming along, like you'd know the song, and then it would just do something totally different. Like it felt like Chimera. Like they just like to like put a bunch of like the William S. Burroughs cut up poetry of music.
Yeah.
It was kind of incredible though. And I was thinking, like, if that's the intent, like if the idea is to just like, let's sit down and write 10 songs that sound exactly like songs you've heard, but aren't, you know, not like, oh, we just changed one little thing, but are just made up of all the components of,
right, you know, right.
You melt it, made the head cheese that is 60s music. Like just stuck the head of, you know, of Richie Valens or what have you, and put it in a boiling pot. And then every little bit that came off is a little piece of a song. And then you just made a loaf out of it. It's like what that band was like.
But I mean, that's a form of torture.
It was actually pretty excruciating in a weird way. Cause like we both were just like, God, what? And then, Andrew kept, playing along, to it because all the songs do exactly what you think they do in song terms, but not in terms of like a specific song. So like, right, oh, these chords follow, like they're pop songs. They don't do anything. Like
so like if you're starting on a D, you know, you're going to an A.
Probably. Yeah. A D or a G. You know, it's like those are your options, you know, a fifth or a fourth, and that's what we got going on.
Yeah.
Lots of 1/5/4s. it was just it was pretty amazing though.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so we heard it and it was real crazy, and then we walked out and saw, and it was all like 60 and 70 year old dudes. So that was the other fun part of it. Like, oh shit. Yeah. Like, you know, this is weird.
Yeah. You don't want to tell them how derivative their stuff is, but you think less of them.
I admire them. Like, I mean, it's less of them, but I also, like I said, if that was the intent, it's kind of weirdly genius.
It's a very good, it's a very good idea. Like just the, hey, I think I know that song trio.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go see them.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to like stop in and be like, hey, you guys play any shows? Like I would go see this just to record it and then take it home and try to run it through the computer. Like analyze it.
Oh yeah. Yes. just to see what like Music Brains thinks it is.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like Alexa or whatever. Like what part of is this from?
Yeah. you hold up Shazam and it just your phone grows arms so it can shrug.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a very good idea. For a band or for an act. That reminds me, so Chris has a very particular way of torturing me in the car.
Okay.
He's been doing this forever. He knows that I like listening to the radio and just kind of like, oh, like just here's that song, you know, just engaging with the music even when we're talking. Okay. And he will just, you know, over the course of a thing, just like slowly nudge the volume down to the point where you can tell that something's on but you can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
That
happens a lot in bars where they'll have music in one room and not another one, where I can only hear the bass line of something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will do a similar kind of effect.
Yeah, and if you're like me, you get up and walk into that other room so you can know what the song is, because otherwise it's gonna drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like stuff like that when you can make, because it can be really transformative.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it won't sound like the thing. My friend Andy, who is the guy who played drums in my band, he had this like old dying piece of shit car, and one of the speakers didn't work. Like he just had the left speaker on the stereo.
Right.
And we were listening to a bunch of old Kinks albums, which are mixed in mono.
Okay.
You know, so they like it, one thing would kind of happen at a time. We were only getting one channel. Or no, they were the stereo remix. Like, so they're originally mono recordings.
Right, right.
So like, not everything was in both tracks, and then they made them stereo by kind of cutting and pasting and reissues.
Yeah, doing that shitty Beatles thing. We're like, oh, we're just gonna pan the drums hard left. Okay.
Yes. Exactly. That fucking weird thing that people thought was a good idea in music for some reason. And it was amazing because you would just hear this we were listening to the song Autumn Almanac.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know if you know that King song, but it's got it was just the bass line, so you go ding 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 ding, so it was like dorky walking bass line.
Yeah.
And then just seemingly random somebody go yes 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 just like that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Just the backing vocal would come through, and it was kind of awesome. Like it felt like the kind of music you couldn't make on purpose. You know?
Well, I mean, it's like that trailer for The Mummy that came out that had the botched sound export.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I love that kind of just weird, you know, taking away things until you get that. Also, what I love is the review of this by Fekot.
Okay.
Did you catch this shit?
Like a bunch of the stuff seemed pretty pretty par for the course, but go ahead and start it up.
Fekot is very special. So it's very long. Like it's like a two, three page review.
Okay.
The game, you know, says it's worth playing, you know, because it's weird. Goes a bunch of stuff. Like there's whenever he talks about male and female, he italicizes them. So there's this weird like sexism thing where it's like, you know, the male is faster and has more stamina, but only has half the power of the female. What a wuss. all these things.
Yeah.
But the review section, is subtitled Crap of Sodan.
Yeah, I made a note of that, but it was it didn't seem enough.
You have to go down to the overview. So it's him kind of rating the things like graphics, sound design,
right?
Challenge/coolness in challenge.
Coolness and challenge.
That's exactly. But you get to overview, which has a good chemistry section, which is great potion idea of potion mixing, clever poems between levels. I like the way the flying demons put the high scores together. Then a section called chemical reactions, which is what he uses instead of bad things. So very cheap obstacles, tedious fighting, cardboard characters, etc. Key moment, word to the wise, say what? Like, he has all these little branded sections.
Yeah.
In the say what section, I can't find a single game magazine that reviewed this game. So this guy is just very strange as somebody who I read a lot of Game Facts reviews more than anyone really should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the reviews are just there's no format that is agreed upon, right? So he's free for this. He's free to do what he wants. Fekot, I need to see what else he's reviewed.
He's no longer
an active member. Let's try Tenchu Stealth Assassins. He does something pretty similar. Except he has honors and dishonors. So I think that he changes the pros and cons depending on which
type of game it is.
Yeah, the type of game it is. Word to the wise for Tenchu for even more replay value. Dig up the Sonic-esque debug code.
Man, that's actually a really good word to the wise.
Yeah.
someday I really want to do Tenchu.
Yeah, Tenchu.
For a show, I'm worried that it won't hold up, but like, I love that game.
Yeah.
The debug is super weird. Unless you do a bunch of weird stuff. The say what? Section on here in Japan, they released a second version of the game where you can construct your own levels. I've actually played around with that too. I actually turned around. I like this guy now.
He's got good taste.
Yeah, I'm okay with this dude.
We did a review of Sparkster, Charged Up or Burnt Out.
Ooh. Question everybody's asking.
Yeah, well, I mean, those are the pros and cons.
His section for Battletoads, his overview has the Toadly Awesome and Toadled section for bad.
This guy's great. It's like the Flophouse Shocktober.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Scarily good, bad.
What a Fekot award for best level design in a Nintendo beat 'em up.
What?
And best dialogue in a Nintendo game? Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, guy.
Are these Fekots compiled?
Yeah, I'm trying to find. That's why I was hoping he was a current user so we could see his website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? Because this guy has that feel to him.
Mm.
Like, wow, 5 stars for Arrow the Acrobat.
Yeah, I didn't see the special title there.
Yeah, the Arrow the Acrobat one just breaks things down into yes and no.
he's losing it. He wasn't feeling the juice that day is the thing. Yeah. For the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, it's Cowabunga or Bugus.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Fekot, you're okay.
I'm okay with this guy. His number one, he only gives the PlayStation as a system 3 stars, and his number one game is Tenchu.
Okay.
So it's like,
I mean, the PlayStation's pretty good. It's a good system.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you play Symphony of the Night before you...
No, but here's the thing. Here's my problem with him. Castlevania Symphony of the Night. The best Castlevania? Please. He says here. He gives it 3.5 hearts, which is a real problem.
That's real low. He's a real NES guy.
Yeah.
How does he rate Castlevania? Oh, Castlevania doesn't even give it the superlative. So
no.
This guy's fascinating though.
Yeah,
he's I don't want to have him on the side of good. I don't necessarily trust him. I like this. I like his pro Tenchu, but I agree with his pro Tenchu bias. I disagree with his anti Symphony of the Night bias. But I feel like he should be involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think they could be the neutral. He's on the side of neutral. He's in the medium place. However, he's like a branding consultant.
Mm, yeah, I would take that.
Yeah,
yeah. That's about what I got.
Yeah,
bad boy.
If we didn't have enough to talk about, I would have talked about The Good Place. But I've watched The Good Place, and that is really good. I watched all of it. I watched it over the course of like 24 hours.
It's it goes down real easy. I've been watching the episodes. Like I am logged into my ex-girlfriend's Hulu, and I've been keeping up with it, which like it just takes a lot for me to want to try to stay current with the show. Mm-hmm. I don't like TV, and I don't like appointment viewing, and I don't like any of that stuff. So yeah. this show is breaking through a lot of my barriers.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. And it broke through my barrier. Usually when somebody says, when everybody says, oh, you got to watch this, the contrary to me is like, yeah, I'll get to it. Maybe when it's over. But I got real depressed one weekend and I was like, I'm going to watch all this. I started at midnight and I think I was done with the entire series by 6 p.m. the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a real good game for that.
Yeah.
So
show.
Yeah. It's a, well, wait until you get to the next episode where they, it is a great show.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. The last episode was a real good big moment.
Here's a duffel bag full of cocaine and a willing sex robot.
Yeah. Well, there's one after that. There's a more recent one.
What? I haven't seen that.
Oh, you'll like it.
Okay.
They go to the bad place.
Oh shit. Did they see Trevor?
Yeah. No.
Oh, damn it.
I was very bummed out. He's got to show up at some point. Like there's still kind of action. So it's possible he'll show up, but maybe he was busy with his ghost show that nobody watches. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I feel bad too. I like him as well, but that show's not that great. If you like this show though, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a couple bucks a month, which is very helpful. You get a bunch of extra good stuff.
Yes. You can demand an episode directly, or you can vote on the topics of our premium episodes. We have a lot of premium episodes of this show, which you can find either at Patreon. The three most recent ones remain available there for $5 and up backers. Or you can go to duckfeed.tv/store to buy the whole library of those.
Yeah. And what I believe to be a reasonable price.
Yeah. You can also go to abjectsuffering.com/suggest and put in some a game that you might want us to play. Don't worry about whether or not somebody's already suggested it. Things that are suggested more than once end up on the list to be chosen for those premium episodes.
Yes.
Would like to thank Alex and Nikolai for recommending Sword of Sodan, even though it is one of the least playable things I've ever fired up for this goddamn
show.
It's
excruciating, actually. Yeah. took no joy. But thank you, regardless of which, for kicking us over down.
Kicking us some titles. Some tights.
Yeah. I think that's probably about it.
Yeah.
So until next time, who is
Bro Dog?
Bro Dog? Yeah.